What if you had the chance to take a long view look at your life on screen? Would being part of a lifelong documentary change how you made decisions, interacted with other people? UW-Madison professor Nick Hitchin knows what that experience is like.
When I grow up, I'd like to find out all about the moon and all that.
Nick, a farmer's son, grew up in the Yorkshire Dales.
And I said I was interested in physics and chemistry. Well, I'm not going to do that here.
At 14, he was away at boarding school, and at 21, reading physics at Oxford.
So what career are you going to pursue?
It depends whether I'll be good enough to do what I want to really do. I would like, if I can, to do research.
It's a clip from the latest installment of a British documentary series. You heard Nick at a couple different ages there, as well as narrator-director Michael Apted. The series began in 1964 with 7 Up and has tracked the lives of a small cross-section of English men and women. Updates have come out every 7 years. 63 Up, the most recent, opened in the U.S. in November of last year. It'll be showing in Madison at the UW Cinematheque February 21st and 22nd. Nick Hitchin, who we heard there, came to UW in the early 1980s, has been working and teaching in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Okay.
Well, this is an unusual experience doing this 7 Up project over the years. You said in one of the interviews on the show that it was often emotionally draining to do the interviews. Can you talk about what that's been like?
Wow. Well, how long have we got? I mean, basically, what Apted does is he probes a bunch of topics that, you know, you don't normally probe in polite conversation, and then having it on a broadcast to gazillions of people, it puts you in a place where you're very emotionally exposed and laid bare. So it's just very an unusually taxing thing. And then you know he'll come by and you're doing this incredibly intense interview for 2 or 3 days, and then when they're done, they will literally drop you off on the side of the road and say bye, and you stand there going, oh, okay, bye. So, you know, it's just very disorienting, and emotionally it takes you places where you just don't normally go, at least not in public.
As it happens, I'm 49. I'm a multiple of 7 right now. And looking at your experience doing this, I thought, would I have wanted to do this? And I think probably not. Did you ever think of not picking up the 7 years later?
Not really. I mean, the thing is that, yes, it's actually pretty tough, but it's one of the most interesting things I've ever done. And it's people tell me it's important. What I do in my life is research and try to come up with something that's creative. And these people have done something that's really, really creative in making this documentary. And so it's really important to meet. I mean, the chance to be in it, even though it's uncomfortable, is tremendous. It would be inexcusable, really, from my point of view, to back out of it because it's just so valuable. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. You've said a couple times in public that you'd want to be known as much for science, maybe more for the science you've done than for the 7 Up series. Can you tell us some about some of the science you've done in your career in England and then at UW-Madison?
Sure. I mean, it's not that, it's not that I have to be better known for one thing or the other. It's just, it's a bit ironic that when you put all this effort into trying to be a scientist, you know, you're more well known for being interviewed at age 6. When I was a teenager, actually, I'll put this out there. I read a book about the state of the world's environment, which said that we were going to pollute, you know, this is a slightly different spin on how people would say it nowadays, but we were polluting ourselves into a problem. And, you know, now we think it's carbon dioxide that's causing us the big problem. But I decided then that I wanted to work on something that was going to try and mitigate this. So I and a bunch of other people were fairly early adopters of the whole go green and don't put out a lot of carbon business. That was what we were working on. And I was working on something called nuclear fusion, which was at the time looked like really the best way to try and make cheap, clean electricity where we wouldn't be polluting. So nowadays, I don't think I have to explain the need for that to people. People get it, but in 1970 or so, I'm not sure it was quite as obvious. But the problem was that that when I got far enough into it, it became fairly clear to me that this was not actually a practical solution. So I then switched to other areas which are useful and helpful, but not quite as dramatic as saving the world by giving us an unlimited cheap energy source.
Another part of your career is teaching. And in the most recent edition, 63 Up, you talk about your love of teaching. Can you talk about your teaching work at UW-Madison?
Well, there's sort of two parts to that. There's the our undergraduates are wonderful, salt-of-the-earth types. And, you know, one of my colleagues said that they're life-giving. And I hadn't thought of it that way, but it's a good thing to say. I thought that was a good comment. But they're engineers, so they're very down to earth. So, you know, if they're going to give up good beer drinking time, it had better be a good lecture that they're listening to. And I must have taught, I don't know, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 undergraduates in the last however many years it's been. And then the other side of it is, I mean, the people I can really put a lot of my heart into are my graduate students, because I have more contact with them, and I want to, you know, I mean, that they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing. I want to tell you a story. One of my ex-graduate students, I believe, is the world leader in finding a cure for autism. I mean, he basically was doing incredibly well as an engineer, but he has an autistic daughter, so he quit doing engineering. And he's been a leader in showing that the human gut controls your brain. And he's doing, I hesitate to say this on air, but he's doing something that he calls fecal matter transplants. And it's showing tremendous promise as a cure. And he's doing a stage 2 clinical trial. So, I mean, you know, my graduate students are the people who I'm really closest to and who I try and give a leg up. And I'm just telling you that story as an example of how wonderful they are. So, yes, I mean, I'm really, really into the sort of trying to promote the careers and the lives of our students, whatever level they're at. You know, the undergraduates, you do your best. But, you know, the thing is that I'd like to say I was serving Wisconsin, but they all leave Wisconsin, you know. So, I mean, I guess I served their moms, you know. The people in Wisconsin who I helped are you know, maybe these students' families. But I really, I mean, I consider it a huge privilege to be allowed to teach these people. It's just wonderful.
In the 7-Up series, people have been following your life since age 7. We can go back and watch things since then. And I imagine people feel like they know you. Do you have a lot of people approach you with a familiarity just based on watching you in the series?
Well, it depends what you mean by approach, because I don't get sort of physical approaches. I get a few emails, and whether they don't usually say that they know me. They often say that they found things they could relate to in their own lives. And every now and then I'll say something that really strikes a chord with somebody. I told a story once about my brother being deaf and how I was wanting him not to be deaf, and then I realized, well, I was actually wishing him away by doing that. And I got a letter from a woman who said she had a son who was somewhat handicapped, and this just had meant a tremendous amount to her. So, you know, that letter from her right there was enough to justify doing the whole blooming film. I mean, I showed it to ApTed, and I don't think he was quite as excited as I was, but he was pretty pleased with it too. ApTed is the director, for what it's worth. Occasionally you get people come up and say, you know, I know you from somewhere, and you can't really say to them, oh, you've seen my movie. You know, that feels a little bit much, but most people around me are not terribly aware of it. It's just goes along very quietly in the background. And so a few, you know, I guess a lot of people have seen it on Netflix or whatever, but we don't talk about it all that much.
Well, and you say in, I think it's in 63 Up, that it's your story, but in a way, this long view of a life, it's telling everybody's story. Do you feel like there are things just by the sheer process of looking at your life regularly like this that we could all learn something?
I definitely do. I don't mean that to be me. I don't mean that you can learn from me, but I mean, I am just, in most ways, just every man. And it's a unique way of looking at the human life. You know, it's like doing time-lapse photography of a tulip blooming or something. You don't normally see that perspective. And if we saw that perspective more, we would have much more insight into perhaps how choices you make at one point in your life affect things later on and so on. It's just a very different way of looking at things. And that's why I think it's so important. And in a way, the details don't matter all that much because the things that are common are what really matter.
Can you leave us? Do you have any kind of advice for the rest of us? I'm not going to go to the trouble of being in a documentary every 7 years. Nobody's asked me to, for that matter. But do you think you've learned lessons on how the rest of us can reflect on our own lives?
That's a real, that's a stumper. I suppose that what I was saying a minute ago about if you did have this long-term perspective, you would have a different view of of a human life. I mean, I suppose that the striking thing, I mean, I suppose one thing is, you know, the choices you make do have these huge consequences down the road. So, I don't know, maybe the bottom line should be live as if you're having a documentary made about you. I mean, but that's a little bit trite. But I mean, I think that a lot of people probably don't think long-term, and this might encourage you to have a long-term perspective. That would be the best thing I could offer up right now.
Nick, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was UW-Madison Professor Nick Hitchin from the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. He's featured in a decades-long documentary series that's followed the lives of the same group of British people since they were children. You can see Nick in the latest update. It's called 63 Up. That'll air in Madison at the UW Cinematheque February 21st and 22nd.